All right. Can everybody hear me? Can everybody in the back hear me? Amy, Sonia, we go. All right. Hey, welcome to Encounter. There we go. Yeah. I tell you, I don't want to say emotional. I'm not that, well, I am emotional all the time, but to see this, me and my wife and there's a couple others in here that were part of this original group. 26 of us started in the annex building about 3 years ago. And look, hey, look what God's done. Yeah. Look what God's done, hey. I know we're in tight quarters. I know we're packed, but hey, guess what? We're going to be family after this, I promise. We're going to be family after this, and this is powerful. Hey, this means that God is still working, that God still has something for each and every one of us. I'm expecting big things myself, and I've been through this like 200 times, it seems, but I'm expecting huge things in my life through this. And I ask you to do the same thing. Okay, before we get going and introduce anything, I know that I have to do this, and I need permission from y'all. Do y'all give this team and this church permission to pour into you over the next 8 weeks? Yes. Can everybody just say amen?
Amen?
All right, now that you've given us permission, what that does is that opens our hearts up and says, God, pour into me. Use your tools to pour into me, and that's what we want to do. And so right now, yes, this is my wife. I know. How'd she land me? I don't know. Pretty lucky old gal. What? Miss Mary. Shoot, what are you talking about? Now, this is my beautiful wife, and yes, we really are married. God can work some great miracles. Hey, guys? So my wife is fixing to introduce our team, and the reason why we're going to introduce our team is we want y'all to know where to go, because we are here for y'all. That's what we're here for. We are here for y'all. So here's my wife.
Welcome to Encounter 2020, the spring semester. We are so excited. Our team has been praying and fasting for you. We've been looking over this list and praying for you by name. If you're anything like me and you're an introvert that tries to be an extrovert and you walk into a room and you're like, there's a lot of people, your tables are all that you're concerned about. For the rest of this class, for all 8 weeks, where you sit is where you'll sit for 8 weeks. This is your family. So it doesn't matter how many people are in this room, your family are the eight at your table. Your table leader is going to pray for you. They are going to pour into you. You're going to get to talk with one another. You learn here that our scars and our history is our testimony, and somebody at your table needs to hear something from you this semester, I can promise you. If you look in the room, you see it's divided. We have women and we have men. And I know some of you were like, I really want to sit with my husband. I promise you, when we went through this experience, we went to the Encounter retreat and they split us up, and I was like, mm-mm. But there is power when you're not worried about anything but your encounter with God. And there is power when you're not worried. You know, when you sit next to your husband, you're like, did you get that? But now that you're not perfect, but you're not worried about that. It's, did you get that? So if you have a significant other here, allow them to dive into this process between them and God. Your walk is about you and God, and you cannot have an encounter with God and not be changed. And so over the next 8 weeks, guys, that's 8 Sundays, we petition you to go all in these 8 Sundays. They build off one another. It is the most powerful teaching that you will ever experience. All of the people in this room that are about to stand are on our Encounter team, and they're on this team because Encounter changed their lives. All of these people come on this team knowing they're going to pay to go to a retreat at the end of it, but they do it because they know what has happened to them through this process and what continues to happen. If you are part of the Encounter team, will you stand? Sonia, stand. You're teaching. Bubba, stand. All of these people are part of this Encounter team. We truly want to serve you and pray for you. Can you give this team a round of applause, please? Awesome. This team is stout, guys. They love God and they love people, and you are going to be blessed having them in your life. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to get to know you activity at your table. I promise it's not hard. There are going to be two questions. First, you're going to tell them your name. You're going to give one word that describes you, and then you're going to tell them, what do you want from this experience? You may not know yet what you want from this experience. You may come in here going, I am battling and I need freedom. Maybe you need to just rewire some of the ways that we think about things. But as a table, kind of talk about that and get to know each other, okay? Ready, go.
All right, that's about enough having fun at church. What y'all talking about having? What y'all having fun at church for? What's wrong with y'all? All right, guys. You know, it's kind of, it can be awkward to sit, well, for some of us. For me, I don't meet a stranger. I actually probably uncomfortable with some people because I talk to them and I don't even know them. But that's okay. But some of us, not everybody is like that. And it can be a little, it can be a little difficult to come into a big group like this and engage. But to see all of y'all engaging, all right, we may have like 175 preachers and teachers in here. There's no telling what's going to happen. Pastor Ty's going to have her hands full after this semester. I'll tell you what. Okay, on a serious note, moving into this process, and that's one of the things that I've really learned about this, is that it's a process. And Taylor spoke something earlier, and she said that, hey, this is a marathon, not a sprint. Okay, but it is a beautifully anointed design marathon. Week one leads into week two, and week two builds off of week one, and it strengthens week three, and then it sets you up for week four, that when you go into week five, six, seven, and eight, you have the tools, and you have the foundation, and you have what you need to work through these processes. So y'all didn't know that y'all walked into an agreement a while ago when I asked y'all if y'all give me permission for this team to pour into you, but because you verbally walked into a commitment, I get to speak this into you, and I ask that you engage in this process. And I want to say this, and I can honestly stand behind this. If you will engage in this process, I promise you will encounter God at a level that you didn't know before. If you will engage in this process, the things that hinder you from that deeper walk with God that we all desire, whether we know it or not, God will remove those obstacles if you'll go through this process. I'm living proof of it. And I'll be living proof of it after the 8 weeks, okay, because I know God's going to deal with me in some areas of my life. And, hey, we have Pastor Talia here. Everybody knows Pastor Talia. And I tell you what, I love watching her in this process because God does something in her every time through this, doesn't he? It's powerful. It's powerful. And I love the fact that we never get to a place in our life that we say, you know what, I've reached it. I know enough about Jesus that I'm good. We never get to that place. So no matter where you're at in your walk tonight, no matter if you're a seasoned saint and you've been in this for 60 years or this is the first time you're wondering, what is this big loud guy talking about? I promise if you will allow, God will meet you right where you're at tonight. He will meet you right where you're at tonight. We have one of my favorite speakers in the world talking tonight, and it's I call her my pastor. It's Pastor Talia. She has invested a ton in me, and I love her dearly. And she is a very anointed speaker. She has been in this process from day one. She drug about 26 of us together at her house, and I was looking around. I was like, who are these people? What am I doing here? Did I make a wrong turn? It's the first time I've ever been in Crown Colony. What am I doing over here? I don't belong in Crown Colony. But I tell you, the vision God gave her and Pastor Jeremy, like we talked about a while ago, to see what I'm seeing right now, it's truly the hand of God. And the fact that she's here tonight and she believes in this and she believes in this team, but most of all, she has a hunger and a desire for the lost and the ones that are hurting. Right? There's power in this, and she knows it, and she believes it, okay? And I'm fishing to ask her to come to the podium. I'm going to open us up in prayer. Hey, we're fishing to get going. Hang on to your seats, guys. God is about to do some miracle work tonight. some transformational work in our lives, okay? Father, we humbly come to you tonight, God, and we thank you for you. We thank you, God, that no matter where we've been, God, where we think we're going, or where we are at, God, your love for us never changes. God, that you have a purpose, you have a plan. God, that you have a calling and an anointing and potential in our life, God, to do great things for your kingdom. And God, as we sit in here tonight, I know that they need to hear, Father, that there's nobody in here tonight by chance. God, that you handpick and specifically design for each and every person, from the speakers to the students to the team, God, to be in here tonight. And Father God, I just pray that we open our hearts, we open our minds, and God, we receive the anointing word from your vessel. And God, not only that we receive the word, God, that we take it and we wrap it up, Father God, and we take it with us and we apply it to our life. God, I just pray that you anoint Pastor Talia. I thank you for this opportunity, God, to have a firsthand seat in your presence. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Talia, y'all give her a round of applause. Come on now.
Well, this is astounding. I see Sonia Bonner way back there. I remember when I was younger. Yes, I am 40. I'm no longer young. I crossed the threshold. I am no longer young. I remember when I was younger, God just began to put people in my life one at a time where he would have me minister to them at a very deep level and see, I guess, freedom of sorts in their lives. And then I went through a really, really dark season of my own. Where, have you ever gone through those seasons where everything you believed and everything you were taught all of a sudden made no sense? And I went through that season as a married young woman, an adult, after a series of tragedies that I'll get into later, not tonight. But I remember the journey of healing Jesus took me through. But I also remember how lonely it was at times. And I just wish that somebody could have come up alongside of me and helped me walk this thing out a little faster. Now, God is sovereign, isn't he? He knows what he's doing, even when we don't understand. But what's incredible to me is that he really does bring beauty out of ashes. Because what you're living and what you're about, the process you're about to go through, is really a process I wrote according to my own journey of deliverance that Jesus took me through. But you're in luck because you don't have to go through it alone. Look around the room here tonight. There is a record-breaking attendance and encounter. And I just want to say, thank you, Jesus. Because my prayer, I don't know how I'm going to stay up on this stage. I like to walk around amongst all of you guys. My prayer was that God would take what he was doing one-on-one with people and what he did one-on-one with me. And my prayer was, God, could you maybe one day show me how to package this in such a way that multitudes could experience freedom? And I look out of here tonight, and I'm blown away at what I'm seeing God start to do here at Timber Creek Church with a very painful past. He does such incredible, listen to me, all of you in here. He's exceptional at bringing beauty out of ashes. And if you'll just allow him to take you through this process called encounter, if you'll just stop listening to the negative voices in your head saying this woman's crazy already, if you'll just stop, some of you already, I can sense, have put your defenses up. And you're just like, my daughter and I the other night, she said, Mom, can we arm wrestle? My 13-year-old. She's almost my height. And I thought, sure, this will be fun. And within moments, boom, I got her. But there was an initial struggle. I better get her. I'm way older and stronger. She better never forget that. But I was just getting her. And there was this struggle. There was this tension between what she was bringing her strength and what I was bringing in my strength. And what I believe that God has for so many of you is he's brought you here, and some of you are like, oh, I will not give. I will not be like everyone who told. There's so many things that we're already wrestling up against and we're fighting against. And there are fears you're fighting against, and there are concerns you're fighting against. There's the unknown that you're a little nervous about, but I'm here to tell you as one of your pastors to trust this process. To trust this process. What God does out of encounter is mind-boggling. In fact, right before I walked in here, I just left our four interns pouring into them. God was moving powerfully just now right down the hallway in a powerful way. But guess where these interns came from? Guess where they sprouted out of? Guess where the call to ministry came from? God put it in them, but guess where they discovered it? Sitting right here. Sitting right here at these tables as young men, scared out of their mind, messed up, uncertain, insecure, and yet they submitted to the process, and now look at where they are. He is a God who likes to do good things. Say good things. And the enemy would want to twist that. But let me challenge you with this tonight. The same God that is so sovereign and so good, that before the creation of the world happened, he already had a plan of redemption for you and I. Before Adam and Eve were here, before the first planet was formed, before he breathed and he separated water from solid surface and light from darkness, he already knew we would fall short. But God in his great love, before all of this happened, he and Jesus and the Holy Spirit have this incredible meeting, and they have this plan before they ever create anything. Because you know, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are present at creation, not just God. If you don't know that, go through Grow One. But I'm telling you, they're having this meeting, and they know Adam and Eve are going to fail. And God has a plan. And he pushes the paper, so to say, across to Jesus, and Jesus has to read the plan. And the plan was what? That Jesus, the Son of God, was going to have to one day come to earth, this planet not yet formed, and come and humble himself enough that he would become like us, flesh. And he didn't stop there. Then his assignment was that he would have to walk amongst us and live like us and feel like us and struggle like us and suffer like us, and be ridiculed like us, and to suffer and have pain and agony and tragedy and loss just like us, all the way to the cross. See, God so loved the world, he gave Jesus, but Jesus so loved us that he submitted and said, let's do it, God. And it's this, listen, this is my point. The same God who went through all of that preparation and all of that planning to make sure all of you are here tonight to hear the truth of the message of who he is and what he can do in your life, the same reality that you're frightened of is coming from the hands of the same loving God that sent his son in advance to die for you. In other words, you have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to second guess God. You have no reason to think he's going to do obey it and switch on you, because he's good. Has he not been so good already to you? Has he not already died for you? Has he not already forgiven you? Has he not already brought you here tonight with a hunger? A little awkward anticipation, but a hunger for more of him in your life. All of that has happened because he's good. And you can be nervous tonight. You can feel like it's the first night of school, first day of school. It's always that feeling on the first night of encounter. That's normal. You'll be fine by next week. But what I challenge you in is, do not doubt the goodness of your God. Do not question that he's sovereign and he has a plan for you that starts right now. This new leg of the journey, this new phase of a walk with him, this new place he wants to get you to be, it starts tonight. But you have to say, I'll go. See, as much as I would literally jump in every one of your hearts and make you obey. I would. Because I know there's good things on the other side. And I'm telling you what the enemy wants to do in encounter already is he wants to make you shut down the idea that he has something better for you than the current situation you're comfortable in right now. And so there's this tug of war going on inside of many of you. Not between evil and good, but between good and great. And Jesus has great for you. He has more for you. John 10:10 says he came to give life and life in all of its fullness. But the enemy wants you to stay where it's comfortable. And he wants you to stay where there's still just a little bit of bondage still. So you can't run freely and as fast and as powerfully into all that God has for you. And it all starts tonight. It starts tonight. The process starts tonight. The process where God takes you from where you are to where he's called you to be, it starts tonight. And I'm so honored and I'm so thankful to be able to stand here tonight and look at all of you women and men and be able to confidently look you in the eye and say, if you trust the process, you will be transformed. If you trust the process, you will be healed. I don't know one who hasn't been, who trusted the process. You will get the clarity and the understanding about your life and your destiny that you are confused about right now. If you trust the process, the inner conflict and the fear of man will dissipate if you trust the process and allow yourself to encounter him because he's here. Amen? He's here. He's already speaking to some of you right now. You get that feeling, you know, when God's really speaking to you and it kind of makes you uncomfortable a little at first, but there's a deep kind of stirring, kind of like in here. Not so much here. Here, there's like a stirring. The Holy Spirit's already preparing you for what he has, and he's about to speak to you tonight. I love this scripture in Job 42, verse 5. I love this scripture. In fact, it's at the beginning of encounter for a reason. Because I believe this scripture is super profound. Who is Job in the Bible? Does anyone know? Anyone remember? Who is Job? Okay, so let me tell you. Do you remember the story of the man in the Bible who lost everything and everything bad happened and he didn't understand why? That's Job. But if you rewind before the bad things all happened, he was famous not for the bad things at first. Do you want to know what he was famous for? He was famous for being a righteous man. Did you hear me? Job was famous for knowing God. He was known throughout the city for his walk with God. But I want you to look at this scripture here tonight as we get started. It's Job 42, verse 5. Now, this is not chapter 1. This is not chapter 2. This is 42. So he's gone through a lot at this point. Listen, guys. Job at this point has gone through a lot. And he comes to a place in his life where he has this encounter with God. Listen to what Job says after this encounter with God. He said to the Lord, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. What is Job saying? He's saying, I had years of knowing about you. In fact, I grew up most of my adult life hearing about God, knowing God, understanding God, but it wasn't until this moment, say this moment, that I have seen him, and now everything has changed. Do you know that you can grow up as an adult of 30, 40, 50 years old, having been in church every Sunday, and hearing about the Lord so faithfully. But it's not until you encounter him. Job says what? Now my eyes have seen. Before just my ear heard. But now my eyes have seen who God really is. And it's this encounter with God that Job has that changes everything. In fact, I don't have time, but I challenge you to read the chapters following 42. When everything begins to turn around for Job. But the point here tonight is this, and this is crucial. This is important for the rest of the semester, or this 8 weeks. In fact, Justin, you said it, and I thought it was so good, and we always need to be reminded to say this to them. Every single week of encounter is crucial. In fact, I would say every week of encounter is important because it lays another layer on top of what God is building in you. So to miss one is to miss a lot of what the Lord needs you to experience and to encounter to get what's next. So can I challenge you guys? I know life is busy, but I challenge you to make coming to, it's just 8 weeks. It's not 12 weeks or 13 like the Grow Track semesters. It's only 8 weeks. I challenge you guys to make a firm commitment to the Lord to be here every single week, because you need every bit of truth that God needs to inject into you to get you to where he needs you to be. But so Job has gone through a hard time, and he goes from knowing about God to seeing God, and it changed everything. And I believe there are some of you like that in this room tonight, that you're here because you've heard he can do some great things. And you've even seen some of the people who have come out of encounter, and they're just different. Amen? Like, praise God. Some of them are way different. Thank God Justin Lindsay is way different. I'm kidding. I love you. Right? Thank God Talia Beaver Vanderlees is way different. But what's important is to understand is that Job thought he had it. Job thought he knew him. Job thought he had it all wrapped up and figured out until he saw God. Until he encountered the presence and the person of God. And that is what changed everything. And I'm telling you already what's going to happen in encounter. Every single night of encounter, you're going to encounter God. Because he wants to encounter you. He wants you to see him. In fact, look in your notes here tonight. What does encounter really mean? It means to come upon face to face. To come upon or experience, especially unexpectedly. I love that. In fact, what's so neat about Encounter is every semester we've done it, it's been different. What God does in one semester is never the same of what he does in the next. But what God wants to do is go beyond you just hearing, and he wants to show up and he wants to reveal himself to you. God wants you to see him. It's not just for the people of the Bible. Listen, Timber Creek. Encounters with God are not just for the heroes of the faith that we can read and go, wow, God was awesome in that situation. Encounters with God are available for us today. And if they're available for you today, and seeing him changes everything, why would we not ask him for a daily and weekly encounter with who he is? We come to know God as we experience him and as we encounter him. Now, what does an encounter do? So an encounter is seeing him face to face, sometimes unexpectedly. But I want you to look at what encounters do tonight. Because encounters with God do several things, and I love this. Encounters with God do, number one, they reveal our true identity. They identify who a person really is. Helps you to see who you really are. As an archaeologist gently brushes and scrapes away debris and dirt to discover the true identity of a fossil, God uses encounters with us to brush away and to remove dirt from our lives. See, what happens is when we're born, it says before we're born, he has all of these incredible purposes and things for our lives. But what happens after we're born? Life happens, doesn't it? Life happens. And it's like that fossil. That layers of dirt over time begin to pile on top of who you really are. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Life hasn't always been so easy. And maybe there's been some pain. There's been some suffering. There's been some disappointment. There's been some distrust. There's been some disloyalty. There's been hurt. There's been abandonment. There's been abuse. And everything that's happened in your life that didn't happen the way God intended it, it's like the enemy takes it and layers another layer of hard dirt over the identity and the person of who you really are. But what encounter will do, what God encounters with God will do. Listen, everyone, this is so beautiful and so true. It's like God is this archaeologist in here. And I'm telling you, you're going to watch it happen. Have you ever seen an archaeologist do this with fossils? Have you ever seen it? They put on like these special gloves. They've got like this special lens that they have over their eyes and a mask over their face. And it is the most delicate process to clear away the debris from different fossils they find. Why is that? Why is it? Because they don't want to mar or ruin what's underneath the dirt. They don't want to accidentally chip away at who or what was there. And what you need to understand tonight is that God is not into exposing you. He's not into embarrassing you. And honestly, you guys, he's not even trying to hurt you. What he's trying to do through this whole process, leader, new Christian, pastor, dream team coach, you want to know what he's going to do if you let him? He's going to put on his gloves. And he's going to put on those goggles. I'm telling you, he's going to put on that mask and he's going to get those special tools. And he's going to begin to tink, 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 tink. Just begin to pick away. He's just going to begin to start to chip away those things, those layers, those untruths, those lies, those pains, those hurts, those regrets. And in the loving hands of the Father, he's going to begin to restore you back to your true identity. See, he makes all things new. And part of the problem right now in your life is not just all of the pain, it's the fact that you no longer see who you really are. And you've lost your identity. I think that's one of the greatest troubles right now of our time. Is in a day and age, these young people, all of us have technology at the tip of our fingers. We have all of this info. We are in an information era extraordinaire. Like, it's crazy. And yet we are so lost when it comes to who we really are, our identity. And what God wants to do, if you'll let him. Here's the deal, though. Can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you anyway. You know what I've noticed about the Lord? Is he won't start doing that in you until you give him access and permission to do so. And so what you may see is, you may see some people start to really take off. I've noticed it's the people who say immediately, that's why I'm here. I don't want the dirt over who I am anymore. I feel like something's blocking me. I just want to be able to fully live out my God-given potential like you guys tell me I can do here at Timber Creek. But every time I try to, I run into this block. And it's the people who come in here like that, say, I'm willing to do whatever God needs me to do to get this out of my life and to get some freedom or to get this lid removed from my faith and my belief and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's those people, everyone listen, it's those people you'll see begin to soar fast. Am I right or am I wrong, Justin? You begin to see them soar fast. It's important that you give God access. Say access. That you give him access into all of the parts of your heart and your life. Now see, that's where it gets a little uncomfortable, right? Because most of us are comfortable with God dealing with this area. This part, I mean, we come in on Sunday morning, music pumping, like we're ready. He's good here. We're okay with even pastors praying with us about this right here. But in encounter, he wants what's over here too. And down here, and back here, and all the way through. Why? Because he wants you to have the abundant life he died to give you. And listen, you can mark this down. You cannot and you will not live the abundant life Jesus died to give you if you're holding on to and protecting pain and regrets from your past. My You want to, if you were to sit down with me one-on-one right now and you were to say, Pastor Talia, what's the best piece of advice you could give me going into Encounter? Can I tell you what it would be? I'd say, give him access. I'd say, don't overthink things, yet think things through with his help. I'd say, go all in. I'd say, trust the process. I'd say he's never steered me wrong before. I'd say that there's transformation and wholeness and healing and victory on the other side if you give him access. So throughout encounters with God, they reveal our true identity. Number two, an encounter with God will show you who he really is. Oh, I love this one. Oh, I love it. Because some of you have come in here tonight with wrong views of God. Because of how dad taught you, because of how grandma taught you. Bless God, Annie picked you up every Sunday and took you to Sunday school. But she like accidentally taught you stuff about the Lord that is not true. And what's so crazy, what I love about Encounter, is that as the Lord shows up, and he's going to show up in so many different ways, but as you encounter him, he will show you who he really is and who he's not. He will reveal to you his true identity. Exodus 34, 5 to 7 says this, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him," Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate, gracious, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in loving kindness and truth.'" Look at this one. "He keeps loving kindness for thousands who forgives sin or iniquity, transgression and sin." See, an encounter with God will show you who he really is. Oh man, that gets me so excited. I remember when I was probably 15 years old. I was laying in my bed at night. And I was taught, even with my family that didn't serve the Lord, I was taught to at least say bedtime prayers. Anyone get an amen? Like, I mean, we had all kinds of crazy going on in the house, but by golly, you say your bedtime prayers. And I remember laying down one night, and I was saying my bedtime prayers as a teenager. And I was getting through the routine. And I said, "And I love you, God, in Jesus' name, amen." And I had an encounter with God, even I guess I really wasn't a believer yet. I was just doing things out of routine and rote, not heart at all. I was not living for the Lord. Let's just say Pastor Talia was not living for Jesus, okay? And the Lord, all of a sudden, I said, "In Jesus' name, amen." And I am not lying to you guys. It was not an audible voice, but it might as well have been. Because I heard this. I heard something say, "You don't love me. You don't even know me." And the presence of God came in my room in that moment. And I began to, I didn't know what it was at the time. It was the Holy Spirit moving, trying to convict me of his love and turn my heart around. But I wasn't seeking him. I was just saying what my mama told me to say, and I was going to bed. And he said to me, after I said, "I love you in Jesus' name, amen," he said, "You don't love me. You don't even know me." But what happened internally to me is I broke down, you guys, and I cried and I wept and I cried myself to sleep. I had an encounter with God, but I didn't even know it. Because I kept living like I was. And I kept living like I was and living like I was until I went to youth camp. And I went to youth camp with my boyfriend to find other guys. Does that tell you anything about how Pastor Tal used to be? Encounter's all about being transparent. So let me set the bar. I was not the good girl, all right? And I went to camp, and it was the very first night, and I felt that same something that I had felt 6 weeks before. And I was like, why am I crying and I'm not sad? I didn't understand. What is this feeling? And I was so confused. I went to my counselor, my camp counselor that night, and I was like, I don't understand. All I know is that I went down front to pray with my friend who was really bad, and the man praying for her turned and looked at me, and he said, I don't know why you're praying with her, because you need prayer, and this is what you have going on in your life. Ba-bop, 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 ba-pomp. I fall to my knees. I'm weeping and crying. Why does this handsome man know everything about my soul? And I'm just like devastated because he read my mail. He was very prophetic. But even that didn't change me. What was happening? I was encountering God. And one little chisel at a time. One sweep away of the dirt at a time. One blow off of the dirt. He was etching my flesh away. A little at a time, every encounter I had was drawing me closer to him, and I didn't even know it. Until the next night, I'll never forget it. I was standing there, and the preacher said, I want every lukewarm, complacent Christian to stand to your feet right now. If you don't know Jesus, right now, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I wish I could say I remember standing to my feet, but I don't. All I remember is all of a sudden I'm on my feet. And all of a sudden, all of those things I felt and all of these other moments was like 100 times more intense. And I am crying. I had my hand raised like all these crazy people I've been watching. I'm singing to God. And I fall to my knees. I got saved. I was forever changed. I've never been the same. I mean, you can see I'm like on the floor weeping and crying on the video. And you see like the youth pastor and all the leaders taking off clothes to cover up Talia Beaver. Because I don't have enough clothes on to cover my body in the glory of God. That's how messed up I was. But one of the neatest things that happened that night was not just that I did encounter, that was the neatest. I encountered Jesus and I gave my life to him and I've never been the same. But I had someone come up to me afterwards and they said, Talia, I have something I need to share with you. I mean, I've got mascara all over my face, snot all down my face. I was a hot mess. I really was. And she pulled up a chair and she said, I felt like the Lord spoke to me about you when you were on the floor crying out to God. She said, did you happen to hear what you kept saying over and over again? And I said, no. I mean, I was so out. I had such an encounter. Like, I didn't know if I was coming on foot or horseback. I was out of it. It was crazy. It was amazing. Amazing. I said, no, I don't remember. And I'm still crying. She said, you said repeatedly over and over again, I love you, Jesus. 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 She said it was for probably 30 minutes. And she said, the Lord spoke to me when I heard you saying, I love you, Jesus. And here's what he said he wanted me to say to you. You ready for this? She said, he said to tell you that was the first time you said you loved him and you actually meant it. She was not in my bedroom the night he said that to me. And it's these encounters with God that got me addicted to more encounters with God. Because in those encounters, I began to see who he really was and who he was not. And when you come to know who God really is, it'll change your life. It'll change your relationships. It changes your marriage. It changes how you date and how you dress. I mean, it changed everything. It changed who I hung out with. And it wasn't rules that did it. It was a relationship with a real God who wanted more encounters with me every single day. I got addicted to him, and I have encounters with him still every day. I'm telling the truth. Just encountered him down the hallway. I'm encountering him right now, and I encountered him in my prayer time this morning. When you encounter him, you see who you really are and who he is. But you also begin to see who you're really not. You see who you really are and who you're not. You see your present identity. All of the pride that caused me to dress and act the way I did was gone. And all of a sudden, I remember, oh my goodness, come on, I'm finishing right here. I saw the X, I know, Amy, I'm coming. Can I tell you, can I like be super honest with you? I wish I could tell you that 3 days after this encounter, I had it all together and I thought, man, this is going to be phenomenal. Nope, that's not what happened. I was walking around the pool after my, it was right before camp was about to end. And I remember, I still remember seeing this certain like palm tree and all this around the pool. We went to condos at Padre Island. It was the only way God could get me to go to camp was to entice me with the beach. No roughing it for me. Give me a condo. But I remember walking around that pool. And I began to just say, God, what do I do now? I was so concerned. Because I couldn't even put my identity in my appearance. I couldn't put my identity in my friend. It was like he's so changed. Listen, guys, he's so changed me that when I went to grasp for all my things that I found identity in, it was gone. And it was like this feeling of almost falling off a cliff here. And I just felt very like, who am I now? And God began to teach me through a process of good mentors, sound biblical teaching, and a great church, who I was really at that time and who he called me to be. And so some of you are going to have that kind of an encounter when he will strip away, because he loves you, all of the junk that is not real, that is not who you really are, that is not who he's called you to be, that is not where you find your love, that is not where you find your strength, that is not where you operate in authority. All of that's dung, all of it's junk, all of it's garbage. And part of an encounter with God is watching him back up the garbage truck and take all your trash out. And it's liberating and you don't stink anymore, but dear God, what do we do next? And it's your consistent encounters with him in truth that take you further beyond just getting the trash out. He begins to teach you who he is, who you are, and who you can become with his help. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. So what we're going to do tonight is, I believe, we actually have, is it break time? It's break. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we have a little inventory we're going to do and a table exercise that's going to then take us into the rest of the teaching tonight. Can you already sense the Lord's doing a work here tonight? I can sense that. Do you sense that? It's like a little bit of a cautious excitement starting to spread. The caution starting to wane and some excitement is starting to build, because you need to understand that I'm no different than you are. I'm no better than you are. I've been right where you are. And I'm telling you, someone who's walked with God now for 25 years, that he can do exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ask, all you could think, all you could hope for, all that you could dare to dream, according to his power that will be at work within you. Amen. Justin.
All right. Well, that was powerful. Yeah, we're going to take about a 7-minute break. We have cookies and coffee and drinks out here. Go to the bathroom. We have access to this one, the one right up the ramp. And so if you would, let's be timely about it, because we want to honor your time. Let's grab something to eat, grab you a cup of coffee, use the bathroom, and let's get back in here so we can go through the second half, okay?
How many of you guys are enjoying it so far tonight? God speaking to you? I love what happens when the Lord begins to speak. It's like a feeding frenzy that just starts in the room, and I can already tell that you're becoming more and more hungry for what God has next. And so let's just continue to lean into that now. You've got coffee and sugar. You should be 10 times more energized the second half than the first. All right? No excuses. What I want to do real quick is, before we get into how to encounter the Lord, how to encounter him today, I wanted to give you guys just a few biblical examples. How many of you know it's super important to know that God's word backs up what we're teaching here? In fact, run from the church that teaches truths that you cannot find in God's word. Run. What I love about Timber Creek is I love that we are so committed to a balanced, full biblical preaching of truth, and we do not distort it or hold back. I just love that. Didn't Pastor Jeremy do a great job this morning? Such a great sermon. You guys tell him that. Don't tell him I said that. He's a words of affirmation man, and he needs that. Now watch, all 170 of you are all going to surround him next week. He's going to be like, I've never had more people tell me I had a great sermon than I did last week. I want to talk about three different characters for just a moment so that you can see that what I'm talking about today is very biblical and normal, but also super powerful and transformative. I want to start with someone who's very famous in the Bible. Start with him because most of you know who he is. His name is Moses. You guys remember good old Moses? What was Moses famous for? Does anyone remember? What did he do? Talk to me. He led them Israelites out of where? Egypt. He told Pharaoh to what? Let my people go. Okay? But before Moses is telling Pharaoh to let my people go, Moses is actually hiding in a place called Midian. He had a fit of rage. His passion got the best of him in Egypt. His heart began to break for the Israelites, and he didn't know why. He didn't know his mission. See, this is really important because, see, some of us, we already hear Moses, and we're like, well, I'm Delight, or, you know, I'm so-and-so. I'm Elizabeth. I'm Freddie. I'm Eric. I'm not Moses. Did you guys realize that Moses was just like Eric and just like Derek and just like Dorothy or just like anybody in here? He didn't know the end of the story. He's a regular guy who made a really big mistake in Egypt, killed an Israelite, and has to flee for his life. He ends up in a place called Midian. And he's far now from where he was originally supposed to be. And he's tending sheep. Were shepherds glamorous and rich or poor? Poor. So we've got Moses, who was raised in the palace with Pharaoh, now cleaning up sheep dung as a shepherd. And he has an encounter with the Lord, even in his season of his wilderness or his disobedience. I want us to look at this story tonight real quickly. It's in Exodus. If you have your Bibles or if you have your phones, go ahead and open your Bible app to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Exodus 3, 1 to 15. And it's in this season, tending sheep, when God shows up. Come on. God didn't show up to him in the palace. God didn't show up to him when everything was going great. God shows up to Moses when everything's going wrong. So guess what tonight? If you're in here tonight and you feel like you fell from the palace to the sheep pen, you're in good company. You're in the right place because God loves to encounter us when we're in the sheep pen. So he shows up to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, it says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Not even his flock. He doesn't even have prestige or money enough to have his own sheep. He's tending his father-in-law's sheep. Dear Lord, help. How many of us are married and have in-laws can identify with the predicament here? His father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. Pause. Do you know what's going to happen here in encounter? You're going to be going about the night, and all of a sudden, the Lord is going to show up. It's going to be a suddenly moment, and you may begin to feel something you've never felt before. And I'm telling you, pay very close attention to me for just a moment. You need to be very sensitive to what God's doing in your life in encounter, because Moses could have missed it. Now, what's interesting is it said that he was amazed and he did not understand why that bush was burning. It says he was almost perplexed, one translation. could say, perplexed. Listen, do not box God in to an encounter that has to look like what it did years ago. Some of you have been saved for a while, or maybe you encountered him when you were little at Sunday school, when the little felt board had the shepherds moving all around. And I'm telling you, listen, do not miss what God is doing now, because it doesn't look like what he was doing then. And I believe you also need to hear, it's okay to be amazed and a little perplexed. But what's cool is that Moses didn't stop there. He went further and got closer to the bush. I challenge you, don't be afraid of the burning bush in encounter. Go, be daring enough to get closer, to open your heart more to what God is starting to show you about who he is and who he's called you to be. Let's look further as to what happens in Moses' life. It says, when the Lord saw Moses, oh my goodness, look at this encounter. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, then God called to him from the middle of the bush. I believe this. As you take steps of faith closer to what God is doing in you, I believe that God is going to see your hungry heart creeping up to the bush to take a closer look. I believe that. But I believe he's also saying, I'm going to need you to take some steps closer out of where you're comfortable and a little bit closer to what might make you a little uncomfortable. Are you with me tonight? But is it not crazy? It's in that moment that God called out to Moses. He didn't call out to Moses when he was just in the sheep pen. He didn't call out to Moses in the palace. He called out to Moses as Moses began to take steps closer to what God was doing right then. And what you have to be careful of is that you don't accidentally miss out on the opportunity to encounter God. Because God wants to encounter you, but you're going to have to take steps closer to lean into what he's doing so you don't miss it. So you don't miss it. It goes on to say, he calls out to him from the middle of the bush, and Moses says, here I am. And God says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. He introduces himself now. He tells him who he really is. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Have you ever had that happen to you? When God shows up and you immediately feel shame. And it's not because he causes us to feel that way. See, what happens is we begin to see who he really is. And we begin to see how holy and how awesome he is and how unholy and unworthy we are without Jesus Christ. So know this. As we move forward through this process, there may be moments when you are face to face with the reality of your need for him and how much you need his forgiveness. It says, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, yes, I am aware of their suffering. Yes, yes, I see all that has happened to them. Yes, I understand that they're being mistreated. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. So Moses has an incredible encounter with God. But here's what he learned. Look at your notes tonight. What did he really take away? He learned, like all of us in here need to learn tonight, that encounters are unexpected. But I think another powerful thing that all of us need to hear and hear tonight is that God sees and hears the suffering of his people. God is not unaware of all you're going through right now. In fact, it's because he's aware that you're here tonight. God is holy. I believe God showed Moses his holiness. God is just. He revealed to him and he said, I am the great I am. It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is that we come to understand who God is. But Moses was a regular man, just like you guys over here tonight. But he was faithful to lean into and to approach the encounter that God had waiting for him. What would have happened if Moses ran away from the bush? Where would the Israelites have been? Still in Egypt. And in the same way, you have a choice and encounter to run away from the bush and stay in Egypt yourself. But God's desire is for you to come up out of Egypt and for Egypt to get out of you and for you to begin encountering God in such a way that you're changed forever. Let's look at the next story. The next story is Hagar. It's in Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 through 14. Genesis 16, 7 through 14. Now, this is a slave woman named Hagar. You guys remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? Do you guys remember that whole thing? Long story, super short. Abraham's been promised to be like the father of many nations, but like can't have a kid, so there's like a really big problem. And so Sarah decides to make it happen in her own way because she's not trusting God to do it his way. And so she goes and gives her maidservant to Abraham to sleep with. And this poor woman's name is Hagar. And Hagar becomes pregnant with Abraham's child. And she has a son named Ishmael. Many, many, many years later, Abraham's wife, finally conceives and has a baby. And the baby's name is, does anyone know? Isaac. So we've got Isaac now growing up with Sarah and Abraham. And we've got Hagar, the slave woman, having Ishmael. And Sarah begins to despise and get jealous of and resent Hagar and Ishmael. And she sends them off, and Hagar's devastated. She has no job, no money, no way of making a living, and she's sent with her son out into the wilderness to figure things out. And this is where we pick up in Genesis 16. Genesis 16, verse 7 says this, "The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness, along the road to Shur. The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Hagar, Sarah's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?' She said, 'I'm running away from my mistress Sarah,' she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit to her authority.' Then he added, 'I will give you more descendants than you can count.' And the angel also said, 'You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael,' which means 'God hears.' For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey." Wow. Bet she's excited. "He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives." Therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord. This is beautiful. Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" So that well was named Beer Lahi Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. And it can still be found between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Now, what's incredible? Yes, chapter 16. Very good, Siri. What's incredible here in this story is the revelation of Hagar. She comes to know and understand that God sees me. And I would dare say every one of us in the room here tonight need to hear that. Because we can get really good at putting on a happy face when we come to Timber Creek Church. And I'm glad that you're persevering and you're smiling in the midst of your pain. Way to go. But there's also a habit we can get into of not being real and not being honest and beginning to feel like we are not seen. And I just think the Lord needs all of us in here tonight just to pause for just a moment. And I need all of you to hear that God is the God who sees you too. That God sees you. Like he sees you, Freddie. Like he sees you right where you are. I mean, he sees you, and he not only sees right where you are. Listen, everyone, what else did God see? He saw where she was going to be. He saw where Ishmael was going to be. And I believe the Lord wants you to be so encouraged tonight to know that you are not forgotten, that you are not unseen by him, that he wants to get it to where we're no longer just talking about what's right now, and he wants to show you incredible things that are yet to come. And I think that's one of my favorite things about encounters with God, is they're not just about the here and now, they're about what's coming down the road. And she came to know him as the God who sees and the God who hears in the midst of situations beyond my control. The next encounter we see is Saul and Paul in Acts 9, 1 to 19. This is the story of Saul. You guys remember this guy? This is that man that was murdering Christians. In fact, all of the Christians were like super afraid of him because he was killing them because of their faith. He was approving of other Christians that were killing them, and he was so gazelle intent seeing Christians killed that he was making sure that all of the officials, all of the Romans, all of the authorities were tracking down and finding Christians wherever they were and seeing them killed. So this was a very bad guy to be dealing with if you're a Christian. Can I get an amen? It's kind of scary. He's on his way to pursue more deaths to see more Christians stopped when Jesus shows up and knocks him off his horse. Aren't you thankful for Jesus who has shown up in some of your lives and has knocked you off your horse? See, encounters with God are unexpected and can also be a little uncomfortable. Because then what happens is the Lord Jesus speaks to him and puts scales over his eyes to where he can't see for a while. Then he tells him he's got to go get prayed for by guess who? A Christian to be healed. He has an encounter with Jesus while trying to kill Christians. What do we learn about this encounter? I'll tell you what we learn about this encounter. That Jesus Christ is who he says he is. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That he is not to be doubted. He is not to be slandered. That he is the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, and it's that revelation of Jesus that Paul has in that moment where he was never the same. The scales fell off his eyes. And I'm telling you guys, that story I told you at the beginning, that's what happened to me. It was like scales fell off my eyes. It was like when I saw Jesus for who he really, really was, I was never the same. And what's so stinking cool is that God began to show me other encounters. And I remember the next encounter I had was when someone told me I needed to go home and I needed to pray about what God was calling me to do with my life. But there was something about the way they said it that freaked me out. And I think I knew already that God had a big ask of me. And I remember like I wanted to know, but I really didn't want to know. And I remember going home, they told me, because I did what my mentor said, you should do what your mentors say. I went home and I shut the door and I began to ask God, okay, what are they talking about, Lord? What do you need to say to me? And after probably 15 minutes of me asking and like sitting on the edge of my bed going like, how does this work? Like, how does he talk? I don't understand what they mean. How did they hear his voice? I've never heard your voice. I don't understand. This is legit like what's happening. I'm sitting at the end of my bed. And then all of a sudden, there was no earthquake. There were no tears yet. There was no shaking of the room moment. But this time he showed up totally different. It was like a real soft whisper that said, you're called to ministry. And I wish I could tell you that I fell to my knees praising the Lord and saying, thank you, Jesus, that I'm called. But after he whispered that to me, I fell to my knees and wailed and screamed. I kicked, I cried, I wailed, I went, no! I mean, I'm throwing the greatest fit. Honest to God, my white carpet had black spots all over the white carpet after that moment because I did not want to do what he was telling me to do in that moment. But it was yet a new encounter. See, God was trying to get me beyond encountering just for the here and now. God was trying to show me what was for later. And the moment I said yes, though, this peace came over me. And instantly, there was a desire to do full-time ministry and preach and teach his word. And I'm telling you, not all of you in here are called to do full-time ministry, but every one of you has a purpose. Every one of you are created by God to do things, great things. Every person's calling is equally significant to the kingdom of God. And it doesn't matter if your calling is to preach full-time or if your calling is something totally unrelated to church work. Your calling is significant, and God wants to talk to you about who you are and what you're called to do. You guys are so quiet. So how do you encounter God now? Like, okay, great, Pastor Tally, that's so fantastic that you've had all these great encounters. Okay, that's fantastic that Moses, like, had a burning bush in front of him. Like, duh, how could he miss that one? Okay, that's fantastic that, like, Ishmael got to grow up and be a mighty nation and that Saul got to become, like, the apostle who wrote most of the New Testament. But who am I? Like, does God really want to encounter me like that? And the answer is yes. See, he created you to love you. And he loves you so much that he's created you to have this incredibly close relationship with him. And one of my favorite things about God is that he calls himself Emmanuel. Do you guys know what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. God is near. Everyone, do you understand what makes Christianity different than any other religion? Is that our God is alive, and he's real, and he's personal, and he wants a relationship with you. Not because you're good, because you're not, and neither am I. Because you're made in his image. You have purpose. He has plans for you. And I'm not feeding you a load of bull tonight. I'm telling you people the truth, that God is at the edge of his seat in heaven, chomping at the bit for what he has ready to pour out in your life these next 8 weeks in Encounter. He's so excited about the moments that are waiting that you don't know about. I believe that he's chomping at the bit for you to let him get close enough to you so that the keys he has that are meant for the padlock on the chains around your life, I believe he's looking forward to the moment. Some of you will let him get close enough to unlock what is weighing you down and has for years and completely unwrap you from that and set you free. I'm telling you, there are encounters with God that are coming. The question is, what will you do after the encounter? The question is not, does God want to show up in my life? Does God have more? That's an emphatic yes. The question is, will you let him? Will you let him do in you these next 8 weeks what he wants to do? Will you? I know some of you are shaking your head and some of you are going, zzz. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for all that God has? Then I finish with these last points. If you really want that, here are the keys to modern day encounters with God. Number one, you need to have an awareness. Dear God, it's all I can do to stand up here. Dear Jesus, do you guys understand that I wouldn't be where I am right now if the Holy Spirit didn't begin beckoning me, making me aware that there was more than what I was living in? You know what I pray over you tonight? More than anything, I know it's the first night of encounter. And preaching in the first night of encounter is like having a tiller in hard soil, and I'm trying really hard to help you break up some of the hard ground that's in the hearts in here tonight. And it's like a tug, it's like a fight to the finish to get God's word out in here tonight. My greatest prayer for all of you in here tonight is that you would be aware. Good God, come on. Can you just be aware of the fact that God is good, that he loves you, that he has more for you than what your husband or wife has said, and that there is something really, really good for you that he wants to do. And maybe you don't feel worthy of the good because you've been told how bad you are. Or maybe you don't feel worthy because of all of the abuse you've suffered. Or maybe you don't feel worthy because you're so insecure because of how many defeats you've encountered from your young adulthood to where you are now. But I believe with all of my heart that God is beckoning you guys tonight, saying, would you just be aware of the fact that there is nothing impossible for me. There is nothing that I cannot do. That you are not so far from me that my arm cannot reach you. That I have heard your cries. That I feel your broken heart. And that's why you're here listening to this woman yell. Because I have more for you. He's the God of more than enough. He's not the God of yesterday. He's the God of what he wants to do next. If we'll just embrace that. If you'll just be aware of that. You have not because you ask not. Oh God, may this group in Jesus' name have the most like asking hearts in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray that every single man and every woman at the sound of my voice would be made aware right now in Jesus' name that you have more than what they're settling for. Oh God, in Jesus' name, I pray you would tear down the fear and the inhibitions and the reluctance to even look and see what is beyond their boundaries right now. Oh God, make us aware. In Jesus' name, amen. Because God still longs to reveal himself to us. And you know what? He wants to reveal himself to me too in new ways. Do you know that? Do you know that, leaders and Encounter? Do you guys, please don't sit at the table and miss out on what God has for you. Justin and Whitney, as you're leading this, and Zane and Danae, you guys don't miss out on what God wants to do in you too. I need something fresh from God. Oh dear God, I don't want to live on the encounters I've experienced. I think I'm greedy enough to ask him for more. I just want more. I need him more. I want him more. I want the things he showed me years ago. And I refuse to grow complacent and to settle for anything less than his greatness for my life. And I pray that that's you in here tonight too. May we be aware that he wants to encounter us today. Number two, the second key to modern day encounters with God is we must have intentionality and focus. Intentionality, what a big word. You want to know what it really means? Show up here on purpose. Be intentional about coming with an open heart. Can I give you another challenge? The Bible says to look away from everything that distracts us from Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I think my kids act the worst right before encounter. I think problems tend to pop up most Saturday night before Sunday service at Timber Creek as a pastor. Anybody else? I mean, the kids have been angels all week. We get in the car to come to church and all you know what breaks loose. It's crazy. Because I believe the enemy wants to distract me and my kids and you from what he wants to say next. So can I just encourage you guys, before you get out of the car, now we're going to see like 120 people sitting in their cars like this before they get out next week. Before you get out of your car, take a moment and get intentional. Walk in here with purpose and on purpose like this. Open heart, open mind, ready to devour the fresh bread God wants to feed you in here. Fresh bread. We're not serving Wonder Bread in here tonight, folks. We're serving fresh bread. But you have to have intentionality and focus. Be careful not to be distracted by the work of God in someone else next to you. Be careful not to be distracted by that. We must intentionally make time throughout our week, though, to spend some time with him. Can I give you another challenge? I'm going to challenge you guys to talk to Jesus every day. Now, for some of you, that's 5 minutes, and that's a big deal. Fantastic. then I challenge you to talk to him or sing a song, get a good worship song on. 5 minutes, I'm happy. Now, others of you, I'm not okay with that. You need more. But I challenge you, no matter where you are in your walk with God, listen, this is for me too. Can we just dial it up a notch this week? Can we just take one step further and begin spending time with him each day, talking to him? We must be intentional then to listen for his voice in our hearts and to begin to look for where he is at work in our lives and our situations. I was talking to one of our interns about this teaching. It was actually Carter. And I was talking with him through these points, and he said it was this one right here. It was this intentionality and the focus that he said, this was the stage that helped break up the fallow ground of my heart so that I could do number three. He said it was the intentionality, it was the focus that, like, God used that to get me on the right course and to get focused so that I could do number three. Guess what number three is? Surrender. Surrender. We must allow the encounters we experience to change us. Surrender to the process. Oh my goodness, you guys, you're in for such a ride. This is such an incredible experience and journey that you guys are on. Wait for each week. Just watch and see what God does. But surrender to the process and trust it. Number four, the fourth key to modern day encounters with God is persistence and patience. Okay, now this one's not too exciting because it's two words that none of us like. Persistence, which means don't give up, and patience that nobody wants to pray for. Why is this important? Because we must seek him until we see him. Can everybody just, for just a moment, you know what I've seen before? I've seen some students go through encounter, and it wasn't until week seven. For some, it wasn't until like week eight. For some, it was week one. And like, I'm telling you, all the glory's happening, and it was just incredible. And all like the rest of the class is going, that's not fair. But for others, it's week five or week seven. I've seen some students not get their breakthrough and completely step over until the retreat. But here's what I want to say. Be persistent. Be patient with the pace of this process for you. Look at all of these different people in here. All of you, God has a different path and a different pace at which he's going to do work in you. I'm telling you, you need to hear what I'm about to say. Do not get discouraged if half of your table is basking in the glory of freedom, and you're still in the dark come week seven. Stay persistent. Stay patient. Stand and wait for the deliverance and the power of your faithful God. The disciples began to see and understand their true identity in Christ progressively. Did you know that? Over time. Through encounters with God and his truth about who he is and who they were and who he was calling them to be. Did you hear what I just said? I'm talking like Peter, James, and John, folks. I'm talking like these guys who lived with Jesus. They said, yes, Lord, I'll follow. But they did not understand their mission until like a long time. There was a process. Jesus had to take them through a process because they were not ready to reach the world and do the Great Commission when he found them on the boat fishing for fish. And Jesus took them through this incredible process, and those disciples are arguing about who's going to be sitting at his right and left hand. We've got Peter and John racing each other to the tomb to see who can get there fastest. We've got Peter wanting to know what John's called to because he's jealous of John's calling, and John and James are asking Jesus if they can sit on his left hand and right hand in heaven. All kinds of crazy. The disciples come running back after they do ministry, tattletaling on some other Christians that weren't doing it like they were. I mean, these guys are a ragtag bunch of people until God got finished with them in their process. And as the Lord gets them to that point, Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. You've got James that's a martyr. You've got doubting Thomas, who goes from wavering faith to stable faith, strong faith to martyred faith. See, he had them all in this process, and he's got you in a process too. But be persistent and patient with the process. And number five, and finally, the fifth key to a modern day encounter with God is understanding. Ask and be able to answer this question. This is so important. What have all of these encounters revealed to us about God? And what have these encounters revealed about ourselves? It wasn't enough for me to have goosebumps and tears. I had to understand, what was God trying to do in me? I can be honest with you guys right now. I'm going through a season of major stretching right now. And yeah, I've had some very amazing encounters lately, but I'm kind of still scratching my head saying, what on God's green earth are you doing with my life right now? He has me so out of my comfort zone. So don't come tell me you can't do this. I'm right here with you, being stretched and challenged, and I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. But it's important for you to understand, not just feel. That's part of it. God, what are you doing right now? What does this mean? What are you asking me to do next? How does this fit? It's okay to ask God those questions and come to understand what he's really trying to say so you get clarity on what he's really asking you to do next. All right? So those are the five keys to modern day encounters. And we have a homework assignment for all of you. Yep, you're in class, you get homework. In fact, go ahead and open up the appendix of your manual. I believe it's Appendix A. Appendix A. Tony, can I see yours? Do you have yours? Do you have a manual? Who has a manual? Victor, do you have a manual? Victor Hinojosa. You can just bring me the manual. Who has a manual? I didn't get a manual. Okay. So here's what we want you guys to do tonight, this week. Are you guys? Appendix A. I have it on page 43. What do you guys have it as? Oh, this is a teacher manual. Never mind. Okay. Appendix A, it's a spiritual inventory exercise. And here's what we want you guys to do in your time with God this week. In the left column below, write down your goals for the semester of encounter. In the right column below, write the obstacles that currently stand in the way or could get in the way as you strive to accomplish those goals in the left column. Does that make sense? So in the left column, we want you to prayerfully think through, what do I want God to do in my life through encounter? And the goal on the in the column on the right, the obstacles, what are the obstacles that I know I'm going to have to overcome? So if one of your goals is, I want perfect attendance, I don't want to miss a thing, what's the obstacle that you're going to have to do to ensure that you do that? Like feed the kids at 5, something, I don't know. Then we want you to pray over your goals and the obstacles you see in the way throughout the semester. Ask God to help you overcome those obstacles and help you to achieve your goals as you take next steps in your relationship with him. And then we want you to take note of when you see God answering these prayers in your life and let us know. Now, this sounds super just like simple. I have had grown adults come up to me. And when I said, what was a turning point for you in encounter? They said, honestly, the first exercise. When I had to sit down with the Lord and ask him what he wanted to do in my life, and then I had to write it down and think through the obstacles, I began to weep and cry because I recognized how much work God really needed to do in my life. So this is actually a very powerful exercise that we want you to take super seriously and do this week. Can I pray for you tonight? Father, I just come to you and I just want to say thank you, God. I want to thank you for the miracle of multiplication. Because, Lord, when I think back on the 23 people in the annex who were listening to this teaching for the very first time, writing it fresh every week before I walked in the door, I look at that night compared to tonight, when we are 4 to 5 times the size, seeing numerous people, Lord, wanting to encounter you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your face to be made so clear to the people in this room. I pray, Father, that you would show up in ways that are undeniable, that they would be hard to miss. Father, I pray if you choose to show up in the form of a so-called burning bush, maybe it's in a way that they're not comfortable with. Maybe it's something, Lord, that they've just never seen before. God, I pray that the hunger in our hearts would override the caution in our minds, and that we would step closer, that we would lean forward, that we would open our hearts wider to let you do a deeper work in our hearts and our lives. God, we choose to give you access. Can you just say that in your own way to him right now? Can you do that? It's okay. Just begin to pray. Lord, we give you access to our lives. If you really mean that, go ahead and let him have it. God, we give you access. God, we choose as an encounter team to not hold back anything from you because we trust you. Lord, it might feel a little scary, but we know you're good, and we don't want to miss out on anything that you have for us, Lord. So in Jesus' name, we just choose. Oh, and for some of us, this is really hard because no one we've ever put our heart into their hands has ever held it the right way. So we're a little scared to give you this part of our heart because of the woundedness from the past. But oh God, I thank you that your word says that your hands are good, that you have good hands. And Father, I pray that your hands would take these hearts and that you would begin to do an incredible process of healing, of mending, of restoration, of empowerment, God, of clarity in Jesus' name. God, make us aware of the fact that you are